Unbelievable that the Redhawks come to Cleveland 31-0 and they get beat today 87-83 by a very good UMass team.
Miami of Ohio now 31-1 with that loss in the quarterfinals of the MAC tournament. Fox Sports 980 WONE with the call. Texas Tech, they were routed today by Iowa State 75-53 in the Big 12 quarters. Virginia wins in the ACC quarterfinals against NC State 81-74. St. John's a winner in the Big East, topping Providence 85-72. Ohio State got past Iowa in the second round of the Big Ten tournament 72-69. Kentucky just dropped Missouri in the SEC. Second round play 78-72.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, delegates to the National Farmers Union's 124th Annual Convention unanimously re-elected Rob LaRue and Jeff Kipley as the organization's president and vice president for another two-year term. LaRue says he's honored to have been given the full faith and confidence of the Farmers Union membership to continue fighting for family agriculture. During his three terms, LaRue has led an organizational focus on member engagement, particularly among the next generation of Farmers Union members. Well, farmers are facing high input costs, trade uncertainty, and surging grain production. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins spoke directly about those challenges during the recent Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, her home state. The secretary told attendees between 2020 and 2024, fuel costs increased 33%, seed costs were up 19%, fertilizer prices rose 48%, labor was up 44%, and interest expenses were up 71%. Well, the Renewable Fuels Association urged the White House to take immediate action, allowing broader use of lower-cost American-made ethanol in the U.S. fuel supply to help blunt the impact of higher prices for crude oil and gasoline. RFA President Jeff Cooper says adding larger volumes of low-cost ethanol to gasoline is a proven solution for reducing fuel prices and helping to insulate the U.S. market from global supply shocks.
It's been popping up in orchards and vineyards all over. Any origin theories, callers?
Oh, hey, yeah, it's Sevia fungicide from BASF, a category leader in disease control.
How do you explain these healthy crops?
Well, longer-lasting residual. Plus, it's built for current regulatory standards and prepared for what's to come, which improves crop marketing flexibility, so...
A fungicide that is out of this world? I knew it. Sevia fungicide from BASF. Or is it? Always read and follow link directions.
If you're looking for adaptable bulls that are raised with a commercial cowman in mind, attend the Elk Angus Bull Sale Tuesday, March 17th at Buffalo Livestock Marketing in Wyoming. Selling are over 50 range-ready bulls raised in the rocks and sagebrush at the base of the Bighorns. Highlights include Sons of Elk Trophy Class, Ellington Promised Land, Diamond M, Ranahan 111, and more. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live on DV Auction. Youth donation heifer to be given to a kid who attends sale day. For more information, including catalog and videos, visit elkangus.com.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are extending losses in afternoon trading, with financial stocks taking a hit as a surge in oil prices rekindled inflation fears, and investors kept a close watch on mounting jitters in the private credit sector. Airline stocks, which are sensitive to fuel costs, are dropping, as well as cruise operators. However, energy companies like Occidental Petroleum and ConocoPhillips, among others, are gaining. And shares of Petco are surging over 30% in a down market, while its quarterly earnings earnings missed estimates, its CEO struck an optimistic tone as he laid out growth initiatives to spur sales. And an NFL star has scored a new title. Theme park chain Six Flags Entertainment has inked a deal with Travis Kelce that will have the three-time Super Bowl champ serve as brand ambassador. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL, brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Some of the biggest gamblers in America wouldn't know the difference between a roulette table and spin the bottle, but they're gamblers nevertheless. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Not too long ago, I was a guest speaker in Las Vegas to a national agriculture group. Some of the regular patrons of Las Vegas must have thought the farm visitors were a little out of place. But I have news for them. A farmer of any kind is in a business that makes a crap table or roulette wheel look like a guaranteed annual income. Year in and year out, the farmer bets his whole roll against weather, insects, plant and animal diseases, and a supply and demand system in which he's flying blind. He has no way of knowing whether everyone else is raising the same crop he decided to plant or if he'll have the market to himself. It can rain too early or too late, or too much or too little, and any one of these can make him a loser. Some years back, a Secretary of Agriculture was getting around the country, hearing at first hand the farmers' views. One of them was giving him a rough time with his complaints. The Secretary sneaked a hasty look at his briefing papers and said, "Well, now, wait a minute. You didn't have it all that bad last year. You got 29 inches of rain." The farmer says, "Yeah, I remember the night it happened." A couple of years back, when beef prices shot up, the cattle growers took a lot of abuse they didn't deserve. For one thing, there'd been virtually no increase in beef prices at the grower level for more than a decade. There had been a sizable hike in the price of feed, the grain that puts on that finishing growth in the feedlot. And it takes about 4.5 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of meat. Arithmetic is a very exact science, and when the grain price per pound is higher than beef per pound, how do you come out in that 4.5-to-1 ratio of feed to meat? And just to top things off, in that year of high-priced meat, we had winter storms in the western plains that killed thousands of animals. In one storm alone, the toll was $100 million worth. That was also the year the workers in the packing houses struck for higher pay. The housewife was angry about the high price of meat, but was she angry at the right people? March 24th has been named Agriculture Day in recognition not only of the farmers' responsibilities, but of what agriculture means to all of us. It's true that almost everything starts on a farm. The things we eat and wear, but also chemicals, pharmaceuticals, cosmetics, soap, and even ink. Less than 5% of our people provide for 95% and have enough left over to export to other countries. You've probably read about the disappearing family farm replaced by the huge corporation farm. Yet less than 0.1% of our 2.9 million farms are corporate. In the last few decades, the American farmer has led America and the world in a technological revolution. His increase in productivity is a miracle of the 20th century. In just the last 10 years, his production has gone up 20%, while acreage farmed has gone down 6%. The harvest from 1 out of every 4 acres is exported. Without that, our balance of trade would be in a sorry state. One farmer grows food and fiber for 51 of his fellow citizens, and 4 out of 10 non-farm jobs are dependent on agriculture. Maybe on March 24th, we should all decide, at least for the day, not to blame the farmer for the high price of food. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I have Linda George on the show. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you.
And we're going to have an interesting show today. The last hour is going to be a vote them off the island. And for those that have not been to a vote them off the island that I've done before, basically, we name five people. I'm going to do six today. People that are well-known in the community or in the county, and we decide who should be voted off the island. And we have people call in and vote for their person and explain why you want them voted off the island. We're going to have our candidates are going to be Mayor John Hammond, political consultant Tom Folks, 4th District San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Jimmy Paulding, his opponent in the supervisorial race, Adam Verdin, and there are two candidates for the District 2 supervisor seat that is being left vacant because current supervisor Bruce Gibson is not running for re-election. And those two candidates are Michael Woody and Jim Nantona. And after the top of the hour, we will be doing our votes on that. But we're going to start this first half hour by going over a little bit about what's happened in the city of Paso Robles. And if anyone that has been going to the city council meetings for the last month and a half or so, or has been keeping a close eye on county government, they're going to realize that we're back to having multiple people come in and say they're upset at the city about things that actually started in the summer of in the beginning of 2024. And there is still anger in the community, and there's still multiple people upset about this. And I'm going to give a very quick background. So you had a fight over paid parking. There were arguments that there was wrongdoing, Brown Act violations. Gary Lehr pointed that out. And in the end, an attorney named Sorrow Rizzo came out that the way that the city had put the paid parking together wasn't legal. And the city council then decided not to do the paid parking at that point and then to redo it. Ty Lewis was the city manager at the time. And when he was a policeman, he wanted the paid parking. It would help him buy tickets to have more people, more officers. And business owners were saying, wait a minute, you ticket people, they don't want to go downtown, and it's hurting us, and it'll hurt tax revenue in the end. And there was a big argument over this. The one council person that was opposed to it was Chris Bausch. Then you had Ty Lewis, as he realized that this was going south and the public was coming out against it and doing an initiative and signing petitions. He wanted to resign. He had support from four council members who were going to pay him to leave the city, and one of them said absolutely not and wanted to fight it. That was Chris Bausch. Then you go into Ty Lewis then files a claim against the city in about the beginning of August 24. And when he filed the complaint, in the beginning it was filed, it was sent over to the newspaper association, which he made a claim that it was about his religion, mm-hmm. and that people are not wanting, that was what that's about. For those that don't know, when you're going for a settlement and you claim it's about religion, you get a better settlement. That's state law. That's he's in government. I have seen a lot of people going for wanting to retire and make claims often go for either sexual orientation or religion as they mm-hmm. move forward because it becomes easier. And then you had... He files the claim and it's denied. The insurance company said, absolutely not. We're not giving him this money. So then he gets an addendum. And there was a couple that does pot delivery. And the city had not done their licensing correct for the city. And they had filed something that had expired. And there was no legal delivery going on through the city. And this couple was being pointed out, there was problems with the licensing. And they went to Ty Lewis and became Ty Lewis's only witnesses that there was allegedly a conspiracy. And their whole allegation was that Chris Bausch and myself were hosting meetings. I'm the one that put out what Saro Rizzo said. Saro Rizzo looked into the legality of the paid parking. But in his addendum that was based on things that he said that the pot distributors gave him, they went after six different people. They went after myself. And again, I was the reporter that first put out that there was an illegality in the parking program. Then they went after Chris Bausch, who refused to give any money. They went after three candidates for public office. Three. They were running against people wanting to give money to Ty Lewis. So you had Linda George, who was running for office. You had... Mike Rivera that was running for office, and you had Glenn O'Hagan who was running for office, and several of them did not like Ty Lewis, and Glenn O'Hagan had been accusing Ty Lewis of wrongdoing regarding an issue with his son years ago. So those are the three people that were listed as people that were conspiring to get Ty Lewis out of office. And they also went after Gary Lehrer. So they made claims about a number of people in the community who were either pushing against the paid parking, or as I said, I'm the one that asked Saro Rizzo to look into the legality of the program. So not looking at this or how weird the whole thing was, then you had Mayor John Hammond send an opinion piece over to the Tribune saying, I know there's a conspiracy. This whole conspiracy, again, was first on meetings. These meetings that we were supposed to be hosting. There were meetings on the paid parking. I never went to one of the meetings. I don't know if Chris Bausch ever went to any of the meetings. But I absolutely did not go to them or co-host them. That was an absolute untruth that was being promoted. John Hammond then gave credibility to the conspiracy theory. And the Tribune wrote... I'd say 30, 40 stories about this conspiracy. And then they went after records and they wanted to prove it was happening and they wanted to make it all true. But guess what? There was no proof. Everyone had to admit in the end, the attorney for the Tribune, the city, there was no proof. Then they came out and said, well, there was no meetings, but maybe they were all talking on the phone. This was absolutely ridiculous. But after this whole thing went down, it kind of got quiet for a little bit. Everybody stopped talking about it. It kind of went away. And then more recently, the Tribune got an award for investigative reporting or for public service reporting because they sued based on the Public Records Act. I'm going to give you an example how these awards work. There's a group called the California Newspaper Association. Years ago, probably 15 years ago, I wrote a story about Dancing Star Farms and some bad activities going on there. I had video. I wrote the story. I put it out. The Tribune wrote their story, very similar to mine, about a week or two later. Then the Tribune applied to the California Newspaper Association for an original investigation and won the best original investigation in the state. I called the California Newspaper Association and said, wait a minute, that was an original investigation. I did the story. And they said, we don't recognize you. You have to be a member. They charge thousands to be a member. I'm not going to pay thousands of dollars to the California Newspaper Association so that they can do give me awards every year. I wasn't going to do it. To make matters even worse, about 5 years later, the Tribune, the McClatchy, the owner of the Tribune, actually apologized to Cal Coast News. I had written a story I uncovered and worked on years on issues at the jail, and I'm the one that reported what really happened to Andrew Holland. The Tribune later claimed the reporting was theirs, and the New York Times actually wrote that this only came out because of the Tribune's reporting. It wasn't true. It absolutely was not true. And in the end, they apologized for making that inaccurate claim. And now, after it cost the public a lot of money, people are starting to talk about it at meetings again. I'm going to bring in one person. We have a caller calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, I just wanted, this is Gary Lehrer, and I just wanted to just add that, this whole thing was just a ploy. It was election interference. I don't think that they, I think they thought they would throw out these accusations and that would be the end of it. But I'm going to let it drop. This is a warning. They ask for people to be engaged civically. So we engage and then we get, threats and bad publicity and get called out as being nefarious conspirators, which is a joke. So I just wanted to, since I was one of the central players in this whole thing.
Gary, can I ask you something else while you're on the phone, though?
Absolutely.
What I'm talking about today in this first segment is I was probably about a month ago, you were at a city council meeting and my phone started ringing off the hook. You got to turn the meeting on. Gary Lehrer is going after the city. Can you explain what happened when you got up and why you got up and spoke and what you said?
Well, the first thing was that they're sitting there wasting our time by discussing the Brown Act as if it was really important to them. They don't follow the Brown Act to the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. Maybe to the letter of the law so they can defend themselves in court, but they're not really concerned. As far as I'm concerned, both readings of the of those parking laws that they passed, parking resolutions, were violations or borderline. What would have been the harm of a second reading? I was just, and I was saying, well, what kind of checks and balances do we have on the city attorney? I think she allows Mayor Hammond far too much leeway in throwing out allegations and lying and not investigating my complaints of his conflict of interest and his violations, because he cited in that editorial the code of ethics. So I actually read the code of ethics, and he's clearly in violation of that code of ethics. So, I wanted to point out to Mayor Hammond, you need to retract those accusations because there's absolutely no truth behind them. And of course, he's stubborn. If he retracts that accusation, it sets off a whole chain reaction. I mean, it undermines so many things that were false about that campaign. So he really can't retract it because then he's in a whole world of hurt because it undermines so many things that were said.
I will tell you, even though he basically bore false witness against me, made absolutely false claims about me and five other people, he never even called to ask me. He never called and said, are you part of a conspiracy? Are you hosting meetings? He just wrote an argument to the Tribune, and I am surprised that he has not come out and said this did not occur. Because where did he get his information other than Ty Lewis and maybe the two pot sellers? Because I certainly did not host any meetings, and I did not attend any meetings. But the bigger issue to me is they harmed you. They harmed your reputation. They stressed you out. They harmed the three candidates. They harmed Chris Bausch. They harmed multiple people in this community, and they probably impacted the election. And I'm surprised that they thought it was just going to go away when, you know, after this is all over and the public, you know, people have been harmed, and the public, I bet it's $1 million when you add up the cost of this community for that settlement and for the settlement, and also for their legal fees. I bet you it's over $1 million.
It's got to be.
Easily.
And remember,
it could have been
roads.
More had not Chris Bausch been so effective in his defense.
Yes.
Because we know that he's $1,000, Carl Olson's $1,000 an hour lawyer, and his fees for that could have been $1 million. And if he had actually won instead of it being a dismissal, he sacrificed a great deal of money, Carl Olson, because he screwed up, he didn't know what he was doing, and Bausch actually saved the taxpayers of Paso Robles easily $800,000 or so. And that's the thing, you know, Hammond is just spends taxpayers' money like he's a drunken sailor, and Bausch is just not that way. He's very conscious of his duty to the taxpayers. All, you know, whatever impacts that he can have. So, you know, that's another reason why I just can't stand to see this guy throw out crazy accusations. It started with parking and harping on Norma Moy, and it just gets worse and worse as he goes along.
Wow.
And I don't see why the city attorney doesn't say, you cannot keep slandering and smearing people. Where is she asleep at the wheel? Is she gets hired by? And that's what I pointed out. Where's the check and balance on the city attorney? Why don't you have somebody audit her work who's not probably somebody who's out of state and somebody who's not afraid to go up against BBK? Because that's what we found. You go up against BBK and Carl Olson and the First Amendment Coalition, and you've got the whole liberal establishment of the state is against you, which is another beef that I have.
And
if they're supposed to be helping minorities and Native Americans, feel like that, and the liberal establishment, this is another thing that I pointed out at that city council meeting. Where are all the liberals when it comes to defending people like Len O'Hagan, Linda George, and Michael Rivera? They're nowhere. They don't care.
Absolutely. That was a... Yeah, I don't know if it actually changed the election, but it was... I thought it was very untowardly what happened during that election and the false claims. The damage also, this was very hard on Chris Bausch, and it cost him financially, it cost him time. It was very hard on multiple people in this community.
Yeah.
But the issue is everybody thought it had gone away, mm-hmm. and you started at that meeting, you came out, and you were... the passion in your voice. The more you talk, the anger and the passion was shocking. Mm. And that was. And now I'm going to let Linda talk about what happened next. As then Linda got up to talk. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Karen. Bye bye.
So after he spoke, then you. There were a couple speakers, but you then spoke. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what happened when you spoke?
Well, interestingly enough, I had no idea Gary was going to be there. So when I started listening to Gary, it kind of just reminded me of all the drama and the, you know, that we went through, the lies and the, especially the trolling from the halls, mostly. But what I was upset about was during the Brown Act presentation, our city attorney, who we pay BBK $134,000 a month, was sitting there passing the popcorn while another attorney remotely gave the Brown Act presentation. So I just couldn't believe my eyes. Shouldn't she be the expert? She's the one sitting there. She should be a Brown Act parliamentary expert. So I got up and I started. I had an entire 3 minutes of positive things to say. I had no intent of speaking about anything. And then I got up and I said, did I just see what I thought I saw, which is you're sitting there while somebody else is giving the Brown Act presentation? And I asked her, I said, what's wrong with your hand? You can't click? Your mouth doesn't work? You know? And then as I started speaking, I realized that I was losing my 3 minutes to say the things that I came to say. Mind you, Gary's already ruffled my feathers about the election. So we have this thing that I call the Cliff Branch 6 minutes. Because I was saying this to someone last night or this morning. Every time Mayor Hammond, one of his friends, walk in, he's full of glee. Just wait till y'all get video. He's happy. He's like, hey, Joe, how's it going? Haven't seen you. But when me or Gary or someone gets up or Dale, it's the groan. So anyways, that's what upset me is that I said, I'm going to take my Cliff Branch 6 minutes. And then he cut me off.
And we're going to hear what happened next yes. at that meeting. It actually even gets more wild. After a break, a word from our sponsors.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. My guest today is Linda George, and we're going to do a vote 'em off the island after the top of the hour. We're going to have our top of the hour break in a few minutes, and then we're going to do a vote 'em off the island. But right now, Linda is talking about what happened. Mm. She went to a city council meeting, and they told her, your 3 minutes are up, and she said,
I'm going to take my Cliff Branch 6 minutes. And Mayor Hammond said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And he pointed to the city clerk and he said, Melissa, cut her mic. And I said, well, then I'm going to keep talking. And I finished my statement.
Very loudly with anger in the room. It was a very dramatic meeting. But what has happened? There are a number of people that worked on the paid parking program who were also watching that meeting who called me or went back. Somebody called them and said, turn it on. They went back and watched it. And they became very, it reinvigorated their anger over this whole thing because it was ridiculous.
Right. We still got paid back.
it was absolutely ridiculous, the claims they made. And they continue to change them. I had the one of the pot delivery people was on my show and or called into the show and admitted much of what was said in that was not true.
Right.
And they said, but when I talked to the investigator, I told the truth. I am sorry. This should have never gone this far. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like? Okay.
The studio moment here, a button just popped off.
Sorry, we had a caller and they were not there.
Well, and most importantly, at that meeting, you know, again, I didn't expect Hammond to be there. I would just, and I've never been so angry there. But I think what's important is that when we finally get the video and City Hall remodeled, and you actually see the reaction that, especially Mayor Hammond, you know, again, like I just mentioned, he'll say, hey, Joe, I haven't seen you. This guy says I practically grew up in their garage. Usually at 3 minutes, he'll say summarize and give you, you know, a couple extra seconds. But when Cliff Branch came, on and on, he droned on. So then that's what I call it now. I'm going to claim my Cliff Branch 6 minutes one day or not.
And Cliff Branch is a property owner that sold property to the pot delivery service with almost no money down, $1 million piece of property. I think they put $10,000 down. They have a large payment. He wants this to continue. He wants them to stay in business. He comes to argue repeatedly for the Correct. Pot delivery group. And again, the other interesting thing is they're the council members that supported Ty Lewis are arguing to give these pot dealers the primary spot in the city when right now, as if, you know, oh, they're local, so they bring tax revenue. That's not how it works. And I think you all know that.
Right.
Anyone that sells pot in the city has to pay a tax to the city. And there was a delivery service, I think, out of Napomo that said the bulk of the taxes paid to the city of Paso Robles for pot delivery or marijuana or cannabis, whatever you want to call it, delivery, comes from their business. So they're paying the bulk of the tax, but we're supposed to be supporting another group that doesn't pay as much tax to the city as does this group because they're local. I found that odd because if you're doing this for tax revenue and we have trouble with our roads and there's a lot of things that need to be done in the city, wouldn't it be best to go after those that are paying the most in property or in cannabis tax?
Enforcement. And even our current ordinances that is, they're actually going to start allowing retail delivery, they don't talk about enforcement. But the one thing that Chief Knorr did ask for was right to enter. So now the police department will have the right to enter their buildings at any time and inspect and able to pull over the deliverers. Go ahead.
They're already supposed to be able to do surprise visits, and they're already supposed to have cameras in there.
Well, that's going to be written in our ordinances now.
State law, though, state law supersedes local law, and there's already a lot of laws on the books. You don't have to have it in the ordinance. And in fact, when they were first on my show, before they did the statement for Ty Lewis, they were complaining about Ty Lewis and about the police department monitoring them on cameras every day.
Mm-hmm.
So why was that okay before they signed that statement? And now they have to have a law to do it?
Well, it is because we're opening it up. I went to the Planning Commission that night and I demanded the revocation of the Halls Dubs license, cannabis ability, because the city to date has not proven to me that they've paid taxes or even have a real valid license, which may have been the original concern when the conspiracy theory started, because when I first met the Halls, they were very helpful. Then all of a sudden, I was the big, bad, evil woman. But through that time, Ty Lewis was city manager. Again, the city has not proven that they've been doing it legally.
We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we're going to come back and do a vote 'em off the island. John Hammond, Tom Folks, Jimmy Pauling, Adam Verdin, Michael Woody, or Jim D'Antona. You'll have your chance to vote one person off the island.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.